got a little bit burnt.
Looks pretty good.
Yeah, well, I want to try and harvest this and ripen it and try the fruit out, because in all the previous taste tests, this variety tasted much better than anything else.
But Tony Patterson, this must be... Oh, I'll let you put that down, that heavy bunch. This must be a bit like, I don't know, Back to the Future, isn't it? Because this is a commercial variety that was wiped out by Panama disease for commercial purposes decades ago. Is this a case of, with race four, is this a case of history repeating itself?
Yeah, well, that's what we're trying to do. So go back and have a look at, well, what happened 50, 60 years ago. See if we can implement our systems of growing bananas in a time when race one was the epidemic and causing all the problems for the banana industry. So we're trying to grow those varieties that were used back then and implement 21st century knowledge of soil biology and crop management over the top of that historic banana cultivar. So the cultivars that we've got here have a little bit of resistance in them from the selections that were used 50 years ago in Central America. But we're trying to increase that resistance through ground cover management and reducing the stress on the plants.
So, Tony Patterson, what have you actually been able to ascertain about their susceptibility to the fungus?
What we've been doing is measuring what's happening in the soil with the microbes and doing soil bioassays, where we take a jar of soil and inoculate it with the fungus and then see how that colonises a piece of banana tissue. And we're finding that where we have lower nitrogen applications and some ground cover, we're able to get some suppression of the disease compared to the standard practices of high nitrogen and bare soil. So it's only a little way, it's only a little step, but it's all the little steps that that can help help us manage this disease.
As you look around these particular rows, is there anything else a grower of a conventional species like the Cavendish would take from the research that you're being able to unearth here?
We're trying to grow them in single rows just to reduce the plant stress as well, because from what we've observed here and overseas, that when plants come under stress, they're more likely to show up the symptoms. So we've found out that single row plantings just reduce some of that interplant stress that quite often occurs in double row planting of bananas. So while this may not be commercial to start off with, it's just going to help our research in understanding how plants deal with stress and how we can measure those types of impacts on the plant.
And tell us about this ground cover. As you said, you're using a legume, and I can see a healthy population of sensitive weed there as well. Not an unfamiliar sight. What would be some of the barriers or impediments for growers taking this on as a standard practice on their farm?
The main thing is trying to keep it under control. So we're trying to basing this ground cover on pinto peanut, which is a legume, and we've been able to measure around 100 kilograms of nitrogen that gets returned to the soil when you cut the crop, when you cut the ground cover. We've found that it doesn't have to be a pure stand of pinto peanut, that once you cut it, it starts selecting the low-growing species, and the pinto peanut is a low-growing species, so it doesn't interfere with a lot of the paddock operations. The trick is then trying to be able to get the planting spacings right and the row spacings right, so that you can mow in between the rows and not interfere with the plant production and not create an extra job in managing that ground cover.
Suppression is one thing. I have also heard certain claims made in certain quarters about the ability for soil health to be a cure for Panama Tropical Race 4. Have you heard similar claims, and how do you regard them?
There's no cure. There's no single silver bullet answer to Panama disease. There've been a number of products and claims here and overseas that say they can cure it, but it's really an incremental process of implementing a whole lot of things, like the foot baths that we've just been through to try and control the inoculum coming onto the soil, restricting the movement to control that inoculum. What we're finding is where soils are disturbed and heavily cultivated, you change that microbial balance, and then you're favouring the disease. So keeping ground covers, managing fertilisers, selecting more tolerant cultivars, it all adds up to being able to slow the disease down.
What about the lessons of why it happened in the first place? I mean, is there a degree of irony that the variety that replaced the Grand Michel commercially now finds itself in exactly the same predicament of being highly susceptible to a quite different but similar soil-borne fungus, Panama Tropical Race 4?
Well, I think that's the... when you get widespread monocultures with bare soil, you're putting a lot of pressure on the plants that are there and selecting out organisms that will survive around the roots of that plant. And I think if we keep that widespread monoculture, then we're going to keep selecting different soil-borne diseases. That's why we're trying to get away, encourage as much vegetation within the plantation as possible. And Australian banana growers mostly have interrows that are vegetated for erosion control, and that also adds to diversity. But you won't see that overseas. It's still a very much a bare earth policy, so there's a lot of pressure on selecting diseases and organisms that survive on the roots of those bananas.
What comfort can Australian growers of bananas take from, I guess, a comparison with where we are compared with where they are?
Well, I think the early detection of the disease and the quarantine has seen the limitation of the spread. If we were overseas, I guess the lessons learned from overseas was that most countries denied that they had it for a long time, and by that time it's spread around. And I think denial is probably the worst thing that can happen to the industry. So we've been able to act quickly, and growers have had enough background knowledge of what's going on to know that they had to act themselves and implement their own on-farm biosecurity. And we probably had enough knowledge to be able to feed into that of what farmers can do to start with. Now we've just got to help them with their soil management and other ways of protecting their farms.
1 year on from the initial detection of Panama Tropical Race 4 in the Tully Valley, how does it make you feel as a researcher in a critical industry at a critical time?
There's a lot of questions that we haven't got answered. We started this project about 3 years ago, hoping to have some of the answers before the disease ever came to North Queensland. But once it gets here, you find out a lot of the assumptions that you thought you knew aren't always correct, and then there's a lot of things that you didn't think of before, so that need answering. So we've been fortunate to get funding from the state government, the Queensland state government, and from Horticultural Innovations Australia to help answer some of those questions with short-term answers, and also to look at some of the longer-term solutions to the problems, such as selecting more suitable varieties if the disease were to become more widespread.
Does that experience make you feel hopeful or hopeless about the future now that Panama Tropical Race 4 is a reality for the Australian industry?
Oh, I'm very hopeful that we can manage it, but it's still a lot of work to be done, and there needs to be an integrated approach. There's a lot more that we have to get through to trying to understand how we can contain the disease, and how we can implement different strategies if the disease were to become more widespread. And I guess that's the worst case scenario, but we've got to be prepared for that. And that's what we're trying to do here is get some of those answers before we ever get to that situation.